Hi, this is your host, Aida. This episode contains content that may be alarming to some listeners. Content warnings include mentions of death, suicide, sexual assault, and incest. Apologies in advance. I was super nervous about this episode. I use a lot of foul language. I was on edge and overall just overwhelmingly hypersensitive during most of the recording. So you'll get to experience a different Aida than you're used to hearing. If you or someone you know is contemplating suicide, please reach out to the National Suicide Hotline as 800-273-8255. And please check the show notes for more detailed descriptions on resources and help. Please take care of yourself.
It's the LGBT Chat Podcast, a space for LGBTQ friends and allies to share personal stories, current events, and life endeavors. Hosted by Aida Ramirez.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the LGBT Chat Podcast. Joining us tonight are two special friends. We're going on a deep dive here on a conversation about parenting, especially parenting in like the Hispanic community, more specifically the Dominican, Puerto Rican community, part of the Caribbean. So if you want like a visual or an earful of what that might be like for our kind of generation, stay tuned, listen in, give us a follow, let us know what you think. Can you guys relate? So tonight we're going to be talking about, I keep saying tonight, and it's like daytime where I am. but I think it's like also like a generational thing, like right for our parents, where they grew up in like a complete different environment. And two of us are LGBTQ queer women, right? Right? Yeah. Three of us? No, you're not. Okay, maybe three of us. And so we've all experienced different things. But did you guys want to say hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Like, hi.
Hi.
All right. So I come from Dominican parents, a stepdad, and a stepdad that I thought was my dad till I had reasoning, because they lied to me and they told me he was my daddy and he wasn't my daddy. And then I'm like, wait, mom, how come his last name's different than mine? How come my brothers have a different last name? And her response, guys, dun-dun-dun-dun, they must have made a mistake at the Social Security Administration.
Oh, man. Classic.
But the list goes on. I'll let you guys share a little bit because we only have 40 minutes.
Okay. Just for a little background, I come from a primarily single parent household, single mom. She had me at 19, so very young. But she grew up in a very like conservative Roman Catholic household that was, you know, with a very strict traditional Dominican dad and very strict while young mother. So that's kind of my background a little bit.
I'm kind of the opposite. I grew up with two different side of families. I have one side is like, there's LGBTQ, there's, you know, a mixture, and then the other one is conservative as well.
So, that's your dad's side that's conservative,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. So, it's like a mixture of two, and it stems through the parents. Like, my mom's more easier, you know. She's more calming. I can talk to her one-on-one as opposed mm-hmm. to my dad. It's completely different. It's like, I don't talk to him much, but... Yeah.
I feel like it's also like their parents came from a place of like, if they didn't know about it, it didn't exist. Mm-hmm. And only what they knew was the absolute truth. And there was nothing else. If you were to tell their parents that the sky was blue and they thought it was orange, guys, we're living in a flat world with an orange sky.
Facts.
So imagine to like try to I don't know, like veer off with like other ideas and stem them with like other thoughts of other possibilities of the way things could be it just seems like impossible.
Because they're it's like the thing of change. They don't like change. Mm-hmm. You know, they like everything the way it was.
And how has that affected you as an adult now?
Yeah, you go first because you probably have more.
You're just getting into adulthood.
Right. Yeah. Currently 24 right now. So I'm still in college. I would say, you know, experiencing the changes of young adulthood and trying to figure out who I am, independent of who my family or who my mom's identity is. It's very difficult because I grew up in a household where because I felt like my mom, when it came to certain things, she was used to having to be so rigid and so strong and so like headstrong and independent that for her, the way that she raised me was that I didn't really have a lot of independent thought when it came to me making my own decisions. Like even for example, like what I wear or how I would behave in certain situations, it was very strict in the way that she would want me to do it because she grew up. And to her, that was the correct way to do it. Even for example, like something as simple as dancing bachata in her household, that was viewed as very vulgar. So she couldn't do it. I'm on the phone.
Bachata for you guys is a very like intimate dance. It's close. Not right. Intimate, like in a sexualized way, but it's like you dance it very close to your partner. Right. And it's usually like either very... like romantic or very like heartbreaking.
The way that she explained it to me was for her parents' generation, it was considered music that was listened to at like bars or like basically somewhere where you might find a prostitute or like someone that you could hook up with. And so if you were of someone of a decent household, quote unquote, you didn't dance bachata. That's not the music you would listen to. Now, while me growing up, my generation, you know, I had Aventura, I had all these artists that like were well known and it became more of like socially acceptable. I grew up not knowing how to dance bachata. To this day, like if you ask me to go onto the dance floor, I'm clumsy. I don't feel comfortable. It doesn't come natural to me. While other friends of mine, it's something that they are so comfortable with because their parents weren't as strict with them with that.
And you're constantly getting the side eye by them, right? When you can't dance it. Yeah.
Dominican, like, where are you from? Like, you know, even certain mannerisms that I have, like I always get told, oh, you're kind of like a little strange to me because you don't do this, you don't do that. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I grew up with a very strict mom and I wasn't allowed to do those things, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Same. I can't dance bachata, but it's not because then he let me, it was because I have two left feet. But how about you, Sam? How do you think this has affected you as an adult? Like the way your parents parented?
It affected me a lot, you know, because my dad was really, really strict, like super strict. My mom was completely different. Like I didn't go nowhere. I stayed home. I didn't sleep over even my cousin's house. It was a struggle to sleep over cousin's house. And if I did, I had to have like the parent ask and have them like see if I can go over there.
Do you think so that was a control thing from his end?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. He likes to control things. Still to this day, he tries, but I'm old.
Do you guys find that like that happens often with people that don't have a lot of control around things?
Mm-hmm.
Like
from
things around them,
their actions speak.
Oh, they're overcompensating for something they feel like they're lacking. You know, I feel like Sam's dad and my mom are very similar. We always have this conversation. The way they're parenting. Oh, sorry, I named you. I'm so sorry. The way that they're parenting is very similar. I feel like they grew up in a generation. I don't even know how else to explain it. They just parent very similarly. And so they try to control aspects of our lives, because I feel like in other sense, Sam and I are so independent, and we have been for so long. You know, we've worked full time. We support ourselves when it comes to other things. We, you know, we don't, as children, we don't generally ask for a lot of help. Sam is the oldest. I'm the only child. So we're just naturally more independent. So I feel like our parents, her dad, my mom specifically, in order to overcompensate, tried to control other aspects that for other people may seem like insignificant. Like in my case, it was my mom's choice of how I dress or how I hold myself, not allowing me to cut my hair a certain length because she felt like that would draw too much attention. I got a piercing. That was end of the world.
But you see, I feel like for your mom is a little different, because I think for Dominican moms, I feel like they view it as how the society might view them, like you're a reflection of who she is as a parent. And, you know, if they see you a certain way or they perceive you a certain way, they're going to think that it was because of her. And I think that's where they're thinking, like Dominican moms, you know.
Yeah, Dominican moms are way different than Dominican dads.
In the way
they're similar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. There, I think Dominican moms are way harsher.
Girl.
Honestly. Yeah. They're harsh. I've seen my cousins and I feel bad.
Yeah. And that makes you feel really bad, right? Like when you have it bad and you see other people having it worse, you're like, shit, maybe my shit wasn't that bad.
Yeah. That's why I always overthought it. I'm like, he'll get over it. Like I'm older enough. I'm like, I'm old as hell right now. So it doesn't even matter right now. But he tries sometimes and I laugh, I giggle. I don't disrespect, but it's like, you're still trying to control, but you're not. But with a mom, I would never do that.
Mm-mm. I would be like, I just need to remind you that you're getting older and I may have a say over what happens to you when you're, you know.
Facts.
Convaleciente. I couldn't think of the word in English for that right away. Convaleciente, Arlette, what is it? Convalescent? I don't know. Convalescent?
Sounds like it.
Does that happen to you guys too? Where like you think of a word, well, you guys were born here kind of like raised here. So
frozen, I'm sorry.
I am?
Your internet.
My internet?
No, hers.
But she's no, I find myself like trying to translate words from Spanish that don't exist in English. That sounds like music.
No.
Just don't even try to talk, Arlette.
Yeah. No, I was born here, so.
Yeah, so you can't.
I try to say stuff in Spanish. I mean, I understand it completely. So I just speak it I have to speak it more. So.
Sam. No one's going to, I'm not going to share this with people. So no worries. But do you feel like, do you have aunts like mine where they're like, you know, you're going to get over it one day. It's just a phase. And like, this is just a mental disorder. Like you're just going to need to seek help to get over it. Have you heard something like that before?
No. You know why? Because my aunt is the same way. Where she's my godmother is I'm basically her twin in a sense. So
this is from your mom's side, right?
My mom's side. And my aunts, I talk to them, you know, but they've seen how I've grown up and they know my parents and they know my father. So they don't say anything. They put me, I don't mean to say it, but they put me on a pedestal.
Yeah.
Because of the way I grew up. And unfortunately, they tend to judge me towards their kids.
Uh-huh.
So they'll use me as an example towards their kids.
And that's something I kept hearing a lot growing up. Like, oh, but look at Fulanito de Tal's son. Look at Fulanito de Tal's daughter. Like, he graduated from high school with honors and he went on to UCLA.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to go to UCLA.
Exactly.
But I think that's something also that our parents do, our Hispanic parents do. Did I say that right?
Yes.
But no, like it's amazing how we're even functioning adults with the kind of like crazy shit that they put in our heads as children. I remember my grandma telling me, you need to marry like an older guy, who's gonna like take care of you financially, and then you could do whatever you want afterwards. Or like, you need to have children so that you can file like claim them on your taxes. And like, who says this to people?
those are the funny ones. Those are the funny family members.
Bro, I don't think they were joking, because this is something that
I know they kept repeating. It's so funny that they were serious about it. And you just gotta let them, like, I heard so much things, so I just let them talk, you know.
And then the one time I brought home a boyfriend, they were like, oh, that one's gonna be pregnant by the time she's 15 or by the time she's 16. So like, I heard that so much, no joke. When I turned 16 on my birthday, I could not be happier to be calling all those people. And I made some phone calls. I was like, hey, I just wanted to let you know that today's my birthday. I'm 16 years old and I'm still not pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
I legit did that. And they're like, me? I never said anything like that. Because, Hispanic parents have like the worst memory for things that they choose, like, that's convenient for them not to remember.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Do you remember ever having like depression or having like an overwhelming amount of feelings over your parents being the way they are? Or because I just remember like, this can't be the way that it's always going to be. Like, this doesn't seem normal or okay. I remember feeling that, like, oh my God, there's no way out, which kind of caused me to like get married at 17 and just leave. And like, I left the country. I left Puerto Rico and I didn't even tell my mom. They were like, where did you go? I'm like, I fucking bounced, because you motherfuckers are crazy.
Oh my goodness. I'll be quite honest. I was depressed as a kid because of my father. He was so, so strict on me and treated me completely different. Like, he would belittle me so much. Just like to the point.
Can you guys see me or hear me?
Hey, Arlette, you're still kind of breaking up, my love.
Yeah. So like, he was really bad
when I was younger. Sorry, I keep trying to find better service.
You're good. But yeah, so I was in a little depression. And I would just, that's why I would always try to be like, I would be to myself a lot. Like, I would be in my room. I wouldn't go anywhere. I wouldn't talk to anybody in the house, just so that I wouldn't spark like an argument.
Right. Anything. Any kind of friction. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Did this affect you having like, this is the blah, blah, blah. Did this affect any of like your relationship with other people, like friends or school or anything like that?
No, with that, I seek like love from other people, like for my friends and all that, because I get it at home. Granted, my dad was an asshole, you know. He still would always say I love you and all that and everything, but I wouldn't have conversations with him. Mm-hmm. So with my friends, I would be able to talk to them, especially to my one cousin. He's a male, and I treat him, he's like my big brother, even though I'm older than him. Like, he basically was that figure for me. You know, he helped me a lot through like my younger years. I'll tell you that. So
I'm so happy that you had that. A lot of us don't, you know, and a lot of us seek a way out in other ways, you know, like if you can't get that relationship from from anywhere else and you can't find a way out of your depression or that rabbit hole. There's so many kids and so much youth that we hear that, you know, commit suicide or even worse, like they're forced to like move out or they're forced into like prostitution and things like that. So I'm so thankful that this wasn't the case for the three of us.
No, I know. Like, I'm very thankful to that. So that's why I'm always checking up on like my friends. I always make sure that they're good, seeing everything is all good, you know. That's what me growing up I had that, so I wanted to give it to somebody else, you know.
That's always amazing. We all need a friend like you.
Yeah.
What was that, Arlette? Hmm? What was that?
Oh. Can you hear me?
Yeah. What were you going to say?
Yeah. I was saying that I can personally attest to her checking in on me. Because back to your original question, I've dealt with anxiety and depression since early on. I was diagnosed maybe early middle school, fifth or sixth grade. And recently I was going to get tested for ADHD because of just everything that's going on. It's made me realize that somewhere along the way, something was missed.
Yeah.
But she has been in my life for many years now. And I can definitely personally attest to her always checking in on me. And even if I, you know, ghost her because I've been depressed and in like, I feel like I have, you know, been in a dark place and I don't talk to anybody for weeks or even a month. And she'll send me a text and she's just like, are you good? Are you okay? Do you need something? Like, she'll even send me something random where she's like, are you alive? Do we just not talk anymore? Like, are we no longer friends? But she does it like, you know, joking just to get me out of my, you know, my funk in a way to just respond to her, just make sure that she knows that something is going on. And I really do appreciate that because, you know, in those darkest moments when you're thinking those worst thoughts, just having someone that is there for you, even if they don't know what's going on, even if they don't know every single detail, just the fact that they care enough, even after, like, let's say all these times that you've had these moments where you ignore everyone, she continues to check in on me. So that means so much to me. Like, like I said, it's one of those things that is always on my mind. I'm like, even if I don't have anybody else, I have one person that no matter what happens does check in on me, and it makes me feel like I'm not so alone.
Yeah, that's also another thing that's taboo in our households, right? Like, mental health is just like, oh, you just, even my mom now, like 2021, is like, oh no, she just needs to get over it. I have an aunt who's dealing with depression because of my grandmother passing away. And she has like heavy, like, you can't even mention my grandma without her going into like a deep funk. Mm-hmm. And she's on medication and antidepressants because she can't handle. And I'm like, mom, she's like, no, she just needs to like snap out of it. And I'm like, bro, it doesn't work like that. It's a chemical imbalance. Yeah. It's science. And I'm like, how dumb are you? You know, like,
it's that thing where they grew up in an environment that had no leeway, no flexibility when it came to what you thought about mental health. Mental health was not a real thing. That was, oh, you're crazy. That was
exactly
it. You couldn't handle the situations, the day-to-day, you're a crazy person. That cousin of yours is crazy. Don't pay attention to anything that comes out of their mouth, just because they were more in tuned with their feelings, maybe, right? We just had this discussion today, not to get too much off subject, but we just had this discussion today where my mom finally opened up that she does feel anxiety sometimes, because somebody told her, they were like, you know, your daughter, she's so open about her mental health. Like, does it, you know, this is hereditary. Like, there has to be some type of correlation somewhere. Right. And my mom said, I do get anxiety, but like, I don't think too much about it. Like, so again, she's still downplaying it. Right. And so I was explaining to her, I was like, it's not that you don't think so much about it. It's that you're so used to internalizing all the things that are happening to you.
That they're normal to her.
In a different way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was saying that they're almost normal to her.
Yes. So anytime that she feels those anxiety like attacks, or anytime that she feels extremely depressed, because I see the symptoms, right? I see the signs, because our generation is so educated on all these topics. Like, I see the signs of her being depressed and I know what she's doing to cope, right? But when I try to address those things with her, she's like, she takes it like I'm just exaggerating. Like, I'm seeing things where there's nothing to see. You know, for example, they always say like, oh, if you're hyper-focusing on just watching TV and like you're not doing anything else, you lose interest in things you like, that means you're avoiding something, you know, there's something else going on. And so she's like, that's not real. Like, you're just whatever, you know?
And I think I've mentioned to you and I'm getting anxiety just thinking about it because I'm so used to hiding it and not thinking about it. but I think about it almost every day, and it always makes me freeze and stop, and I feel like I can't function. But when I think about like my sexual assault as a child, and I remember telling my mother, like the one person that's there to protect me, about this person, and her response was, "You must be imagining that. Like, there's no way that's true. That just must have been something you dreamt, and you think it's real." And as an adult, when I saw the same person try to, I just sniffed it that he was going to try to do something. And I confronted him, and I just kind of snapped. And my mom tried to intervene, and I'm like, "You shut the fuck up. When I needed your help, when I needed you to support me, you had no say so. So don't try to intervene." But it's insane how our parents try to, I guess it's like a defense mechanism, right?
For that. It is a defense mechanism, right? There. I had a similar situation. Our friend here already knows. I've spoken about it to her in the past. But I was molested up until I was almost 7 years old by someone that was in our family. They were adopted by my great grandmother. But they were only, I would say, early, maybe 20s. They were young. And my reaction to the assault was, I had night terrors every single night. I couldn't sleep. I would wake up screaming, crying, like, you know, it was to put me down to bed. It was a nightmare. Like, I just would not sleep by myself. I had separation anxiety from being away from my mother. If she was away from me.
And those should be signal, right? Those should be red flags to your parents.
Mm-hmm. But my mother was not educated enough. She had me at 19. So by the time I was six, she was what, 24, 25, around there. She wasn't educated enough to pick up on those signs. And so I remember when the only time I actually addressed it to her was when we moved to the States, when I was, I want to say I was around seven, almost eight, and I was still having these insane night terrors, and she couldn't figure out what was going on. And she sat me down one day, and she was just like, "What's going on? Why do you have these nightmares? Why do you wake up thinking we're all going to die?" And I told her, and I was like, "This person told me that if I ever told you the truth about what they did, they would kill you. Like, you guys would die. Like, you would die some other way. Like, you know, it's the same tactics abusers always use." But they had told my mom, I mean, they had told me that that's what would happen to the people that I cared around me. And as a child, like, I just always had these nightmares thinking that that's what would happen if I opened my mouth about what had happened to me. And my mom's reaction was almost similar to your mom's. It was denial at first, denial for a while. And then because she saw that I was like inconsolable, it was something that to this day, I still remember those night terrors. There are some nights that I still like have problems sleeping. Like to this day, right now I am on sleeping medication because I don't sleep normal. So, you know, there's some things that we still carry, even though we think we have addressed them. And I remember that after the denial, she went into this state of almost like she was angry with, like, you know, she was hating herself because she didn't see the signs. She was hating herself because she trusted this person. And she believed that they were, like, you know, taking care of me. They were babysitting me. It was a family member. Like, that would never happen. And after that conversation, though, we didn't address it again. We haven't addressed it now. She just would always have conversations with me of being wary of strangers, not allowing anybody to touch me, not allowing anybody to get close to me. And if anybody looked at me weird, to tell her. She was just like hyper paranoid about other happenings, like, you know, in case that would happen again. But she never addressed that specific situation. I'm 24 now, and we still haven't addressed it again. And I don't really feel like I know how to bring up that subject to her.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I imagine the whole thing, you know?
Hello?
She muted herself.
Oh.
She has something in
the room. I feel like somebody in the room. No, it's okay. I feel like it's the same with my mom too. Like, she has never brought it up, and the family never brought it up. I had somebody that I can confide in as an adult, and I told her. And when I kind of mentioned it to my mom as an adult, I told her, "Oh, so-and-so had the same experience." And so-and-so was like, I told you I'd deny it if I was confronted. So it was like there's no accountability and there's no kind of mm-hmm. like support from any end.
It's scary to admit that those things happened, you know. Our friend here, we're still staying anonymous. She was one of the first people that I admitted it to outside of my mom, outside of when I admitted it to her when I was 7. And I admitted it to her because I felt like it was eating me alive. I was, at the time, I was probably, what, like 16, maybe 17? I was young.
I think so. Yeah, you was young.
I was young. Yeah. And at that point in my life, I felt like I was spinning out of control. I didn't know what to do with myself. I wasn't eating healthy. I wasn't sleeping. I was having panic attacks regularly. I needed to be taken out of school. One of my cousins would literally pick me up at 1 p.m. on the dot because I could not make it through the full day. So, wow. You know, there was, my body was like kind of reacting because I wouldn't admit what was happening to me or what had happened in the past. I was shutting down in other ways. I was affecting my schoolwork. It was affecting my social life. It was affecting things that I loved, so spending time with my family, my friends. And so I admitted it to her and I admitted it to another friend of ours. But it was one of those situations where like it came out and I didn't even realize that I had already said it. and it was hard to admit. It was, I'm happy that I did it because by me speaking to her and the support that she gave me,
yeah,
it allowed me to acknowledge it. I lived in denial for a long time and I viewed myself as dirty, as tainted, as broken. I always said that I was like broken, you know, that I was, that nobody would want me, that I was tainted, that I was damaged. And after her supporting me years later, maybe like when I was 19, that's when I finally started realizing that it was better I acknowledge it. By me acknowledging the situation, I took power away from it. Like it didn't weigh me down as much.
Yeah.
Now I'm in a place where I'm more open-minded about my mental health. Like I tell people, yes, I have social anxiety. Yes, I have depression. Yes, I think I have ADHD and I'm getting tested. Or yes, I've been assaulted. Like I'm more open to telling people about these things. Because I feel like it no longer has power over me by me admitting it.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like for me though, I can't, it still affects even my sexual relationships, you know, it affects like my, that intimacy, where like, I don't want to be touched, where if I'm touched the wrong way, even by a stranger, like on the arm, it makes me jumpy. I don't like strangers hugging me. It affects me so much every day unconsciously. And for a long time, I didn't know where to place that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know why I was, why that happened, why I would react that way. And it took me a while to like, oh, that this is why. So what I was saying was that I had a lot of physical reactions to due to that abuse, right? And I didn't know where they were coming from. And now I'm able to pinpoint them. And know why that's happening. So I have a little more control over it. Mm-hmm. So now when somebody approaches me, I'm like, I'm not quite a hugger. Also right. COVID, right? Thank God for that. I was like in my prime.
I always said that, you know, all the downsides to COVID, that the one positive was for me, since I have social anxiety and even just, I'm going to just do our initials S, if that works for you, I could just be A. So S and her family, her mom has always advocated for me. When we used to work together, her mom would always say, oh, she doesn't like to be touched. Like, don't hug her first. If we were at work, you worked with us for a while. Her mom would always tell people, like, if they were just coming in to give hugs, she would just be like, oh, she doesn't like to be hugged. Like she made it kind of like a funny, not big deal kind of thing. And she picked up on that on her own. Like it wasn't something that I needed to address with her, like privately or anything. I just simply am like you were saying, I don't really seek out hugs or like, I don't really like certain kinds of touches. They make me uncomfortable. for a long time, I didn't realize why I didn't want to be intimate with people that I may have liked, or why I didn't feel comfortable with my body being looked at a certain way, or just even people being like attracted to certain aspects of my body, because again, I felt dirty or used or broken, whatever the term I was using at that time. So now that I'm older, I'm able to realize that it was me not knowing how to react to those things. And still now I've learned that I'm more okay if I initiate the contact. Mm-hmm. So if I initiate the contact, I can tolerate it a little more than if somebody randomly is like, oh, here's a high five, or a pat on the back. Like when I was in middle school and high school, people always said like, oh, she scares easily. Like, you know, oh, she may see you, but if you pop around behind her, you can scare her again. And it was because my body was so used to being on the defensive that like any little thing that somebody did, I panicked, right? And I thought it was funny, like, you know, I would joke around about it, but it's because my body was panicking. I was panicking when somebody would touch me without me knowing, and you know, and now it's like I'm okay if I give you a light hug, or if I initiate the contact, not so much if somebody does it without me knowing, kind of thing.
Yeah. I remember, and it sucks when you have, like a loved one, like when I was finally in a relationship where I was able to like, hey, this is what I'm going through. This happened to me. And you're sharing that experience with this person that's supposed to be like your partner. And they can't, sympathize, you know, right. Like no matter how many times I explain to this person, like, hey, I can't like, sex doesn't work like that for me. You know what I mean? Like I don't operate like that. It has nothing to do with you. It's not that I'm not attracted to you. It's just, I can't, you know, I'm traumatized, like legitimately traumatized. And when your backup, like the person that, you know, that's supposed to have your back, can't sympathize. It's just, it makes things like 10 times worse, you know?
Yeah. I feel like it makes you feel like all the insecurities you have, all the faults you feel you have, they may not be actual faults, but the faults you feel you have are highlighted.
Yeah.
And you feel like it shines this light on you, and you're kind of like, you feel more isolated in a sense, you know?
Yeah. I remember when I confronted this person as an adult, his comeback was, you're not even my type. And I'm like, what kind of type does a 7-year-old, like is a 7-year-old or a 6-year-old?
Right.
What the? I just remember I legit laughed out loud, because it was just like you're trying to reason with a person that's obviously, you know, that's, you can't reason with.
Mentally, it's illogical. Yeah. That doesn't exactly. There's no logic to why you would do something like that. is that person still in your life now?
Unfortunately, this person had to be invited to my last wedding, and I say last because I may have one more, and that's it.
Right.
And it's like I'm forced to interact with this person constantly, and now, you know, the person is old, and it's almost, and I feel bad because when I think about, he's had like health scares or whatever, and I'm like, oh good, you know, and I feel guilty, but I feel happy. And then it makes me feel like a horrible person, but I know that it's just my defense mechanism, just, I don't know,
it's yeah, you shouldn't even feel guilty or horrible for it in a sense, because again, this is coming from a person who has gone through a similar circumstance. So maybe I'm not the best, most unbiased opinion. But I feel as though, you know, in a sense, our younger selves are trying to protect other kids from going through the same situation.
Yeah.
So if you know that person for one reason or another can't touch another child, that's a good thing, you know? Me personally, I'm separated from the person that did this to me, both physically, because they are literally in another country in an island that is geographically nowhere near where I am currently.
You can't drive there, bitch.
Yeah, I can't drive there. She can't drive to me. She doesn't know where I live currently. So I was able to distance myself from that person, both mentally and physically. I felt like that is what has helped me the most, in a sense. There was even a few years where I tried to tell myself that I imagined it as a way to cope. it didn't really happen.
Like, I remember having those thoughts, like maybe I did dream it when I was younger. Right. Like maybe it was a dream.
And because of the way our families are, right, especially minorities, not just Hispanic communities from the Caribbean, but minorities in general, I feel like we have this culture where it's like, in a sense, not necessarily that we support people that do these crimes, but almost like it's swept under the rug.
Yeah. Right? And again, it's that whole thing that because it might reflect bad on them or their family.
Right. And it's family. Oh, it's family. That person definitely couldn't hurt you.
Right.
That's just your uncle, or that's just so-and-so. That's just your whatever it is. Right. So they kind of downplay the situation because it is quote unquote family. And so I feel like that for a while made me question things. I was like, if this person's still in our lives, like, you know, in school, we learned that they would be in jail, but if nothing happened to them, they're still going to family reunions. They're still considered normal. Then maybe I imagined it. Maybe I'm the one that's wrong and the situation didn't happen. I feel like that definitely caused a lot of trauma when it comes to like relationships, trying to seek a healthy, intimate, normal adult relationship with a partner. I feel like now I do carry certain things, and I do carry, I don't know, just, I don't want to say grievances, but maybe like apprehensions, things that hold me back from going full into a relationship. I always feel like I'm going in with my guard up or with the expectation that somehow it's going to fail.
Yeah. And you know, what kills me the most is the idea that a family member, your mother per se, their incapability to try to get into, like, even sympathize just a tiny bit. Like, I don't get it. Like, you brought me into this world. Why wouldn't you, you know, protect me? Like, I think of my cat and I'm like, I don't want anything bad to happen to this cat. Like, anybody looks at this cat the wrong way, I want to kill him, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, why would you be okay with somebody hurting or, you know, hurting your child? And why would you, I just don't understand. I can't logically understand why our families behave that way.
Similarly, I feel like my mom and I have had this, like, and again, we've never addressed that again, that situation, that one conversation we had when I was about 7 or 8, we never addressed it again. However,
I was 6.
When I finally spoke about that
conversation,
I feel like it has boiled over in other ways. So for example, you know, it's come up in other situations where she and I have butted heads, and I've held a lot of resentment towards her. Now that I'm older, I can definitely identify, and I've been more honest about the resentment. I've told her, I'm like, this is something that I need to deal with, but I feel resentment towards you. I feel resentment towards my father, for all the things that he's done, right? He's been an absentee father, but whatever. That's Dominican fathers, we know how they are, some of them. Not to downplay it, but we know.
Not to digress, but my father was having a heart procedure, and somehow he managed to finally get somebody to get a hold of me, and like, oh, I'm so scared, blah, blah, blah. He wants you to go to the hospital. And I'm like, motherfucker, I'm 37 years old. Where the fuck have you been since 1984? You're having a heart attack? Good luck, bitch. Good luck. I wish you the best. So I don't know how that heart surgery went. But anyway.
So, you know, with the father situation, right? That's a whole thing. But I've been more open with her, and she's kind of like, but why do you resent me? And I feel like I resent you because you've ignored certain things that I have asked you for help on. I'm like,
and the fact that she can ask that question.
Right.
I bet it's, that it infuriates you even more.
Oh my goodness. So, you know, when she asked me, you need to deal with that. I have done nothing wrong for you to hate me this way. She recently, after we had the whole argument about the piercing that I got, oh my God, Ida, she literally told me, I've ruined her life. What has she done in this world to deserve this? My whole family would basically disown me. She said, nobody in my family would accept me. What is wrong with me? Do I not know how horrible I look? Has she failed me in such a way that I would want to disgrace her like this. It was all about basically her. Me getting a piercing on my body was all about her.
Yeah.
And she told me that I don't have a strong enough mind to not let people convince me to do things. So she says that my friends were the ones who told me to do this, and I don't have a strong, or I'm not independent enough for me to make my own choices. Then she said that it was because she allowed me to hang out with certain people that she shouldn't have. Mind you, I didn't leave my house up until like college. She wasn't like, when I would leave my house in high school, it was like to go to church or youth group. It wasn't like I would hang out with people like that, you know, or work. So when I told her about the resentment thing, she said that she doesn't understand why I resent her, and that is something that I need to address. And basically that was all my fault. But when I told her, I was like, there has been instances in my life that I asked you for help. I asked you to try to understand about the anxiety. I tried to ask you for you to not necessarily support me, but for you to understand that when I was having suicidal thoughts, like, these were real concerns. I didn't want to actually, like, you know, no, I don't, I feel like nobody
really wants
to wanting to, nobody looks forward to wanting to kill themselves, right? But when you're asking for help and your relative is just telling you you're making it up, the person like you're supposed to lean on is telling you you're imagining this, you're being like, you're making a bigger deal than it is, and just kind of like dismisses you, it hurts, you know? And who was I supposed to turn to other than her? Realistically speaking, there was nobody else, right?
Right.
But I had my friends. I had my friend S, who's on with us, and I would turn to them, you know? And if I didn't have them, where would I be now? I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I remember my mom telling me once, oh, you must not have any friends in school. How do you say that to your child? Like, I think your mom and my mom are from the same part of town. They lived on the same mountain.
It could be.
Same hill.
We lived on a hill.
Oh, man. Parents, right? You got to love them or hate them, but you can't do both. But apparently we do. at least I
yes,
do.
We do.
Like, there's moments where if I think of her, I... like the idea of her just hurts me too much where I can't function. And then if I know that she's sick or she's not feeling well, I'm like beside myself. And it's this hate thing, relationship thing in my head. And it's horrible. I don't wish this on anybody.
Neither do I. It's like this inner turmoil that you feel like, wow, like you and I are so different when it comes to certain things. Like we butt heads on, I feel like my mom and I butt heads on when it comes to like views on sexuality, views on religion, views on just even forms of expression.
Yeah.
She and I will butt heads like there's no tomorrow. Like it could be like we were, even though we're blood related and I am literally her daughter, her blood born daughter, it feels as though we are from two different cultures, two different religions, two different regions of the planet, right? But if something happens to her, if I am unsure that she's somehow hurt, I feel like my world is ending.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if it's because she's a single mom and that she's been my, you know, quote unquote rock most of my life.
Yeah. She's been there.
She's been there. Yeah. So I don't know if it's because I still have that remnant of like separation anxiety that I had as a kid.
And it's also like some sense of loyalty also.
Right. Yeah.
That so, it's my mom and she's been there and society tells me that I have to love her. And you mm-hmm. and who's to say that we can't love, you know, people in these situations, because we do. And sometimes I find myself thinking, like, is it because she's my mom or is it because I really feel it, you know? And when that stuff was happening to me as a child, instead of removing this person from the scenario and the situation in the picture, she sent me away to live to a strange country and with a different language with people that I had never lived with. And it just makes you feel like you've done something bad. Like you were saying earlier, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I can't understand the logic of our parents. And I try to understand it and I'm like, no, why do I have to understand it? And at times I feel like I dislike her more than I dislike the person that did this to me, because she was the person that was supposed to be there to protect me.
Yeah.
And she did it. But getting back on track on other ways that our parents have ruined us. other than anxiety medication and near-death experiences.
Yeah, I have a little bit of self-depreciating humor, so excuse me if I laugh at things like that.
That's true. What else can we do, right?
Right, yeah.
Have they ever done anything to you guys where, like, you're like, wow, ouch, but then they give you a compliment?
Wow, ouch, and then a compliment.
Yeah. Like, they say something so belittling and
my mom
compliment you, like, that's a nice dress, but God, you're fat.
Yes, my mom has, again, we're going back to the thing that's about her controlling how I dress, what I do with my hair, whatever. So she has always, my mom's side of the family is naturally thin. They are, for the most part, a lot of them are taller or just naturally slim or naturally curvy, but they have like flat stomachs and thin arms. So it's just like curves in the right places, you know, that hourglass shape. Whereas my father's side of the family has always been fatter per se, like they're just fat. So I feel like I got a little bit more of his genes. And so her go-to would always be like, that looks nice on you, but if you lost more weight, it would look better. Or no, don't wear that. Don't wear that color because you know, you're fat and that color doesn't look good on you. You can't have your hair short because you have a round face and you're fat. So then the round face looks worse with the haircut. It's literally like, oh, can't wear the tank top because it shows your arms. But it was from the time like I was 6 years old and I weighed, I don't know. What do you weigh?
98 pounds?
Like not even 90.
80 pounds?
Like, you know, so it was ridiculous, the things that she would say. So like, I tell her that now that like it carries on. I'm like, you know, you stopped buying juice when I was probably like, I don't know, 7 because I was fat. Like, you know, you did these things that weren't normal for children to me because you felt like you needed to make me be skinny, but I didn't have the body type your family does. You know, it didn't come naturally to me. Like, you guys could eat 3 men's portions of meals, because my cousins do it, females do it in the family, and not gain a pound.
Yeah, body shaming is a MO for all Dominican moms, Dominican parents. May I bring up a vow renewal from like last year, 2 years ago, from one of you guys?
Sure, why not?
No, well, it wasn't yours.
I know that. I'm just saying, sure, why not?
Well, because it's not for you to answer, sure, why not? It's for us to answer.
I thought you were asking us.
Sure, why not?
Oh, wait, what happened?
Go ahead. Yeah, I was asking if I can bring up a vow renewal that happened a while ago, because I can tell that you weren't very happy.
Me?
Yeah.
When?
Because of outfits. I'm talking about outfits during a
I was so confused.
I'm so sorry, because I didn't want to say specifics if you didn't want to talk about
I didn't mind.
Okay.
I didn't mind, to be quite honest.
1 to 10, how uncomfortable were you?
Very, very, very uncomfortable. But I was cute, so I didn't really care.
You were. You were. Because, you know, some people can't rock both.
You see? Exactly.
You know, and you pulled it off. But I felt for you because I know what it feels like. And I'm getting married again.
Nice.
And I'm like, I'm buying a tux. Like, I'm going to find the cutest tux and like a corsage. No, like underneath the tux.
Or a corset. Nice.
Yeah, a corset, right? Like, I'm going to find like the flashiest with like the heaviest of cleavage, but I want a tux.
That sounds hot.
I know, but I want a tux.
Do it.
I'm going to do it. You guys are invited. You guys are officially invited next fall, 2022.
I will be there.
Yeah. Okay. You can wear whatever you want.
That sounds great to me.
But even that, I feel like they robbed us of like of our identity.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like we only realize certain things about ourselves when we are apart from them. Because I personally still live at home with my mother, I feel like I'm in a situation where I'm stuck Right? Yeah. Like I know certain parts of myself, and or I know that I want to explore certain parts of my identity. But I feel like I can't right now because I'm not in a space that is as accepting. She's not as accepting towards mistakes or yeah. flaws or me changing my mind, you know, like changing my mind on a career path. Not something that she tolerates, because to her that's failure.
Right.
Not changing my mind on how I dress myself. Certain things, if to her they're too masculine, that's bad. You know, certain things like that. Like I feel like I won't be able to experiment or get to know myself, who I truly am outside of her, until I move somewhere else.
Right.
I don't know if that's the same for you. Yes.
Well, I bounced. I was telling Sam that I left when I was 17 because I couldn't be there anymore. And it was like, I couldn't find a way out. And I, you know, I was contemplating suicide. I remember one time thinking that, oh, let me just drink this whole thing of Advils. I didn't know that Advil didn't do anything to you other than vomiting. but I did it. Imagine if I had access to, like, you know, other medication.
Yeah. Right.
I remember one time crushing my grandma's like blood pressure medication and thinking that that was going to do it. And instead, obviously, I just vomited. But I left. I had to leave because I couldn't see myself being in that environment. But that's not an option for everybody.
Right.
And I had the opportunity and I took it. But I feel so bad for so many other people that don't have that option and are forced into homelessness or prostitution or God knows what other else, or commit suicide. So how do we see ourselves seeing the light and following that light? S, what do you think?
I'm fine. Like, I do whatever now. Yeah. I don't really care anymore.
But you're also financially independent, right?
Mm-hmm. I am. I still live with my parents. So I'm still here.
But I'm sure that's by choice, right? Because I'm sure if you want it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking for a place now. Before I wasn't able to, but it was like it with COVID, it kind of helped with my uh-huh. finances. So I'm able to move out now. So I'm looking for a place at the moment.
I hear a housewarming party.
Yeah. soon. I'm looking for a place and I have a place in mind. So let's see. Hopefully it works out. So, but yeah, I mean, I wear what I wear. I always wear men's clothes regardless. And I've always been like that since I was younger. So it didn't like change things. Some, like for the wedding though, it was just like,
you had to wear, was it a pink dress?
Was it pink? It was
blue. It was blue teal.
Okay.
Yeah. Like
I remember a pastel color.
Yeah.
Like the Tiffany blue.
Yeah. So it wasn't that bad. I rocked in, and as soon as I got home, I took it off and changed. And so some sweats and a t-shirt. I just love.
But I also feel like I get a sense from you that you've learned to acknowledge that things are just going to be the way that they are with, like, at least your dad. It seems like your mom is more nonchalant about it.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself? Do you see yourself like in a relationship where he'll ever accept it or be okay with it, where he'll be like involved?
I think, yeah. My godmother is very close with my parents, and she's always talking to them. And because I haven't actually told them yet, so they don't know.
Okay.
But my godmother has told me they know regardless.
Yeah.
So nothing has really changed, to be
they know
honest.
That you want to go or that you're in a relationship?
No, they know that I'm not the straight one. Yeah. So
wait, your dad thinks you're straight?
No. I said no, they don't know. I haven't told them that.
Like, she hasn't come out to them that way.
Yeah, I haven't come out to them yet. So they don't know.
Okay.
But my godmother says, yeah, my godmother has told me that they already know, like the both of them already know.
Okay.
But I don't think that has changed anything. Maybe when I do move out, though, it'll change a little bit.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't think so.
Wait, time out. Oh, you haven't come out to whom?
My parents.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all inferences. They pretty, you know.
Well, they know, but they don't know, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Her dad is like my mom. So okay. They know, like, because I know my mom sees signs, and one of my cousins pretty much has already told her about me because she even brought it up in a conversation. But my mom won't acknowledge it until I say it. Then she'll throw the fit of denial or whatever she needs to go through. And then she'll be like, oh, okay, we had this conversation now. But for even though she knows, she'll act like she doesn't know until I bring it up. Kind of thing. Her father is similar.
Yeah.
He'll pretend that it doesn't happen. It doesn't exist until you acknowledge it.
How about you, A? How do you see yourself? How do you see things getting better for you as far as, I don't know, identity liberation?
As far as identity and liberation, I mean, I'm not going to lie and say that I have things figured out now, because I definitely don't.
Who does?
You know, even if we had scheduled this 2 weeks ago. If life had
a manual.
Word.
If we had scheduled this 2 weeks ago, you would have been seeing a very different, you know, experience coming out of me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on my meds again. So we know that definitely affects the way we work through the circumstances we're going through. So I feel like I have hope for the future. I don't have things figured out. I have hope for me being able to explore things in the sense of me figuring out what I want to do in a career path. I know I love animals. I know I love science. I know I want to help people. Do I know the specific career? Not necessarily, because I've always had what my mother has told me. I've always had what she has deemed as acceptable, but not really what I want to do.
Right.
I feel like I've always just gone with what people have told me to do. You know, oh, you're good at this, that would be great for you. Okay, I'll volunteer and do that. Or, hey, you're good at doing this, go do that. Okay, I'll do that. It's never been so much as me being able to do what I actually want. That's been always shut down. So I feel like for the future, I'm going to try to focus on allowing myself to want more for me, independent of what my mother wants.
You know what I love about you? How you're able to articulate your emotions and what you're feeling and your thought processing. Did I say that right? I can appreciate that, because you're able to have a a conversation that you're able to understand. right. And then I feel like I talk to you sometimes and we're having these like deep conversations out of nowhere. I may not talk to you for months, and then we're having this deep conversation. I'm like, your word. Right. And I'm feeling the exact same thing, but I can't put it into words. So the same way you can, and you're much younger. So I can appreciate that.
It definitely, I feel like, came with practice, and it I feel like in a sense too, it came because of who my family, who they are. I didn't always have a voice. So I feel like the few times that I was able to speak, I had to jam
a lot so of information.
Much.
Yeah.
Yeah. let's say like a whole 5-paragraph essay. I had to jam it in like 3 sentences. So I feel like that has allowed me to articulate certain things. It doesn't always work well, but sometimes.
Guys, you guys have been wonderful for sharing your time and your space with us at the LGBT Chat Podcast. If you guys listening out there, you need an ear, and I've always said this, me and my co-host Angel have always said this, reach out to us. Text us. If you don't know who to reach out to and you don't want to Google, there's a human being on the other side. I'm on the Pacific time right now, so if I don't answer, I may be sleeping, but we'll always respond. We're always here for you guys. So reach out if we'll figure it out. Okay. Just reach out. If you feel like there's no one else you can talk to, or even if there are other people you can talk to, you can still talk to us. We're cool.
She's very cool. Very cool resource to have.
Thank you. You guys have been wonderful. Until next time, everybody, happy trails.
Thanks for listening to the LGBT Chat. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, the grass is always greener where you water it. Till next time.